Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, I worship you and praise you and thank you for the beautiful day that you've given us. I ask you, Father, as the Word of God goes out today, I ask you to bless it to everyone that'll hear it. And may you use the Word of God in a mighty way to bring people to a closer relationship with you, that they may know who you are and the mighty things that you have done for us. Lord, it's so great to know you and to love you and to serve you and know who we are in Christ. May you reveal it to the people as they hear your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. This week, I'm going to start teaching on the book of 1 Peter. I think that this Bible is the most awesome book I have ever studied. I don't think that. I know that. This book is so great and so magnificent. And when you get a hold of who you are and what you can do in the name of Jesus, it absolutely makes life wonderful. I am now beginning to understand what the Lord says when he says, I came to give you life and give it to you abundantly over there in John 10:10. You look at that and you think most Christians never, ever get a hold of what it really means to live the abundant life. I thought I knew what it meant, but I didn't, because I'm just now beginning to get a grasp, just a tiny little grasp, on what it means to walk in the abundant life. But Peter here is going to tell us some magnificent things, and I want you to listen as we talk about 1 Peter today. Starting with chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. So he's writing this to the church, writing this to the churches scattered throughout all of these different places. This grace, this magnificent grace that we have received, this free grace that God has given us, that he paid dearly for, so that we could enjoy this magnificent grace, so that we could be saved, so we could be healed, so we could be delivered from the forces of darkness. Oh, if you ever get a hold of what it really means to receive this free grace, if you get a hold of what grace really is and what Christ had to pay so you could walk in this grace, your goal will never, ever, ever be to sin again. Now, too many people today have tried to think, well, we're living under grace, so we have the freedom to sin. We can go do all kinds of things. We can live with some other person out of wedlock. Or you can be a pervert. You can live with a person of like sex, and you're going to be okay. It seems like we've been taught all these things, but I'm going to tell you that's not what this book says. This book says those that commits perverse things, perversion, those that commit sexual immorality, those that lie, that steal, that cheat, even those that live in unbelief shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So I'm telling you, grace, it came at a tremendous cost. It cost Jesus his life. He was beaten and bruised, and he did that for you and me. When I got a hold of what the King did for me so that I could receive by grace, by faith, the grace that was his, that he gave to me, once I got a hold of this, I didn't never want to sin again. I want to walk holy before the Lord. And if the Lord is really in you, if this magnificent grace is in you, the grace of God, Jesus Christ, the righteous, if he's in you, you will want to walk holy before him. I'm telling you, whatever you do, walk holy before God. Because in chapter 1, verse 3, Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." That's awesome to think what He done for us. That's why Peter could say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," because Peter understood what he had in Christ. And that's what I didn't understand for so many years, but I'm now getting a hold of it just a tiny bit, and praise the King what I have in Christ. Verse 4, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Wow, an inheritance. An inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled. Think about that. And that it cannot fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. If you're a born-again Christian, these things all belong to you. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's so easy to accept Jesus and come into the kingdom of God. Receive the free gift that Christ paid for you on the cross so you can be free. No, praise the Lord. This inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, it is absolutely reserved for you and me in heaven. It says, "To those of us who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." The power of God is kept through faith or trust in the Word of God. Now then, faith is the most awesome thing that you will find in this book. Faith or trust in what is written in this book. When you get to where you can trust this book, you won't never have another sick day. You won't never sin again. You will walk holy before God. You will strive with all of your being to walk in obedience to His Word. And you will trust the promises of this book. And you won't have to worry about being sick. You won't need an insurance policy in your last days. You won't have to be concerned about spending your life's savings on some kind of a hospital or a doctor. You won't need one. Oh, glory to God. Praise the King when I learned these things. What a privilege to be 65 years old and have learned these mighty things and not had one single sick day in the last 20 years. Praise the King. It is so awesome to learn these things. It says, "Wherein you greatly rejoice." I mean to tell you, you can greatly rejoice when you get a hold of these things. He says, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Well, let me tell you, that enemy is out there. He's going to do everything he can to tempt you. Now, the book of James clearly tells us that God tempts no man with evil, but the devil, he's the tempter, and we are the ones that yield to him. We do not have to yield to him. But he said that we are going to be tested. We are going to have very many different kinds of temptations. And he said this is the reason God allows those things to come upon you. In verse 7, he says that the trial of your faith, or the testing of your faith, will, which it says, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now then, if you realize that all the trials and tests, the temptations that are coming upon you are to try you and to test you, to make you a better person of faith, when you get a hold of this, you will stand on the Word of God, knowing that the King is allowing the enemy to tempt you and to test you. And when you get a hold of this, you will come through these trials and tests because you will stand on these mighty promises of God's Word. You will not allow the enemy to deceive you or defeat you in no way, form, or fashion. So when you walk in this, praise the King, you will be able to see great and mighty things come to pass. Just like here a while back, I told a man that had been coming to my church a while, he came down with a stroke. Now, he'd had some unforgiveness and some bitterness there, and he had to get rid of that. But in the process, he had opened the door. He had had a stroke. The enemy came in. I told him, I said, if you will repent and you will get right before God, I said, then after you've repented, if you'll stand in faith, no doctors, trust the Lord, take His Word, meditate on His Word, I said, if you'll do that, God will completely heal you, and it won't cost you any money. This man went to a doctor to get a confirmation after he couldn't hardly talk. His mouth was all drawn down, and he was paralyzed on one side. The doctor clearly told him that what he had was a stroke, and he needed serious medication. He told him no, he was going home and trust God. Now, then you got to really believe this book to do this. But Ray, the man's name was Ray, he goes home, him and his wife, they take the scriptures, they begin to pin them all over the walls, they begin to quote them, begin to listen to them, begin to praise God, begin to thank God for His promises. And as they did, over the next 5 months, that man completely, 100% recovered from a stroke. He stood on God's Word. But let me tell you, the thing to do is don't give the devil legal right. When the devil comes to you to put any kind of sickness and disease upon you, fight him with the Word. Resist him with the Word. Hide the Word in your heart. Don't wait till the sickness comes upon you to try to start learning the Word. You need to start learning the Word now, before the sickness comes. Because if you wait till you're 40, 50, 60 years old, and then you start trying to learn God's Word after the sickness has come upon you, it's very difficult to win your battle. The best thing to do is start reading the Word, trusting the Word, stand on the Word, and you will get to see God do some great and mighty things. So just think of what Peter's telling us here. These are mighty things that he has given us. Just think. He says that the trials of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, although the gold perish, he said, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Wow. Praise the King. We'll continue right here tomorrow in 1 Peter. I'd like to invite you to contact us via our website, www.tlsm.org. There you'll be able to listen to these programs again, or you'll be able to order any kind of video or audio tapes that you like. We send all of our material out free and postpaid. And if it blesses you, you can send us a donation. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a blessed day today, and we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scribner again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I worship you, I praise you, I thank you, because you're the King of the universe. You're the Lord, our God, our Savior, our healer, our provider. And we're so grateful, Father, for this Word, that we have this entire Word of God, that we can read it and study it. And I'm so grateful for this magnificent book. Lord, as we teach your Word today from 1 Peter, I ask you to bless it as it goes out. I ask you to open the people's hearts and minds that they may learn what is rightfully ours as children of the King. And I worship you and praise you and thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now that we're going to start right here in verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 1. This is where we left off yesterday. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7 says that the trials of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, if you haven't learned the fact that you're going to be tried and tested as by fire on this earth, well, learn it right here. I see so many people that something devastating happens in their life. They lose a mate in an accident, in a car wreck, or they lose a child, or something happens, and they get mad at God. Well, let me tell you, whenever you lose somebody in death, you need to get mad at God. But the God you need to get mad at is the God of this world and not the God of heaven. Because the God of this world, which is Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He is the God of this world. He is the author of death and destruction. And I'm going to tell you, there's not a single thing on this earth that fits into the category of stealing, killing, or destroying that Satan is not behind. Because that's what the Word of God says in John 10:10, that he comes to do. But everything that's good and perfect and wonderful and abundant life comes from the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if something happens during these trials and tests, don't get mad at God the Father. That's when you need him more than you ever needed him in your life. So get mad at the God of this world, which is the devil, and come against him with a fervor, with the Word of God, and beat him, because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So in these trials and tests that you will go through in life, they're normal. Get used to them. You're going to go through those things. So don't even be concerned when you go through various trials and tests. Just remember what the Word of God says here in 1 Peter. It's absolutely teaching you how to increase your faith level. The trial of your faith is more precious than gold to God. Though the gold be tried with fire, your faith is the most precious thing to the Lord. He wants to train you to be a faith person. So whatever you do, learn how to be a faith person. When you get to where you're a great faith person, then your trials and tests will go away for a while. You won't have quite so many. But as your faith increases, I will have to say, at times when you're tried, your faith trials will be more and more severe. Because what God is doing, he's training you to be an overcomer so you can reign and rule with him. And that's what he's doing. He's teaching you and training you. In verse 8 he says, after he's talking about the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says in verse 8, who having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Now, very few people that I have ever talked with have ever seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a few of them that I've talked to today that he has absolutely come and manifest to, and people say they've actually seen the Lord. And there's a few that says they've seen him in a dream or a vision. But I personally have never seen the Lord, but I've heard his audible voice, or at least it sounds audible to me. I would rather call it the authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. Whenever the Scripture uses that, many times the Spirit speaks. And as the Spirit speaks, it's audible. You can hear it. So, he will be able to get your attention very easily. Then he says, in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So the end of your faith is the salvation of your soul. You will get to go to heaven to be with the Lord. And I praise him and thank him and worship him for this great and awesome privilege of being able to receive eternal life. Receiving the end of your faith, the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul. So you're going to fight this fight of faith all through your life. Don't think just because you get old, or older in years, that you're going to get past the point where you're going to not have any trials and tests. Let me tell you, the trials and tests are ongoing every day of your life. So, just get used to it. You're in a battle. when you learn you're in a battle, but you know that you're going to be the winner, don't sweat it. Just fight the fight of faith and press on, because you know that the end of your faith will be the salvation of your soul when you walk across into eternity and the Lord puts His arm around you and He says, "Well done, faithful servant." That's all any of us should want to hear when we get there. Verse 10, it says, "Of which salvation," as this salvation we're talking about, the salvation of your souls, it says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. They were searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." Now these men of God, these prophets of old, they sought and inquired diligently to find out what the Lord was talking about. Here they were being moved upon by the Holy Ghost to write these things down. And they did it in writing the Scripture, but they still didn't understand what was going on. Although they had written it, they had been moved upon by the Holy Ghost, they had penned it down, but they still didn't understand it. That's why I'm here to say that there is things that some of these apostles and prophets have written in the Word of God that I believe with all my heart they themselves did not fully understand everything God was giving them. Just like here, it's obvious that these men, they inquired and they searched diligently. These men searched and looked into these things of salvation, and they were searching, you know, what they could do, and they were searching through the Spirit of Christ which was in them. They wanted to know more about the sufferings that he was talking about, of the servant that was to come, which was going to be Christ, and then the glory that should follow. They could not grasp in the flesh what he was talking about, the magnificent glory that should follow. Wow! But the glory that should follow was Christ in you, the hope of glory. That was a mystery that was hidden before the foundations of the world. No one knew and understand that. Because they said if the principalities and powers had understood this mystery, they would have never crucified the Son of Glory. Well, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into." Now, isn't that amazing? This finally was revealed to these men. It was revealed, but not to themselves, but unto us. These things were revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit came, and He came to this earth at Pentecost, and He changed the world. But praise God, that Holy Spirit is still here today, and He's still doing those same magnificent things today. Then it says in verse 13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your man, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Gird up the loins of your man. Be sober. In other words, tighten up the strings, if you want to say that, around your mind. Don't listen to the things of the world. Don't be loose. Don't let the loins of your mind be loose. If you're loose, you will feed the trash of the world. You'll feed the soap operas and the news and all kinds of junk into your mind and your heart. You don't want that stuff in your mind and your heart, because it has no power. The things of the world has absolutely no power. Spend time reading, studying God's mighty word. In other words, just like Peter said here, gird up the loins of your man. Be sober. Whatever you do, don't go out and get drunk. When you go out and get drunk, you open up your mind. You open up your spirit for evil spirits to come in. So don't do those things. Get off of drugs and alcohol and cigarettes and all that stuff and walk holy before God. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The King is coming, and I'm telling you, I don't care how long it is until He comes, because I've now learned just a little bit about this battle and what's going on. I know that we're the winner, and it makes no difference what the devil throws at us now. If we're obedient to the Word, the Lord brings us through all of these things. Praise the Lord. Now, he says in verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so ye be holy in all manner of conversation. What are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be obedient children. We're supposed to be reading and studying this magnificent book, and we are to be holy. We're to walk in obedience to this book. We are not to sin. We are to walk in obedience to the Word. We are to walk in power with the Word of God. And if you will do what the Lord says, He will share His power with you. And when you speak in His name, He will make whatever you say come to pass. Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, we come to the end of another day. We'll start right here tomorrow in 1 Peter. I'd like to invite you to contact me for complete teachings on these subjects. You can reach us by phone at 940-242-2106. Or you can get to us on the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can send us an email, or you can order our audio and video tapes. We send them out free and postpaid. Have a blessed day in the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. Today, let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we worship You, we praise You, we thank You, because You're our King, our Lord, and our God. And what a mighty God You are, Father. We thank You for what Your Son did when He came to this earth to bear our pain, our suffering, our sin, our sickness, our disease. He came to completely defeat the enemy, and He did. Lord, I thank You and praise You now for the privilege to run this battle, run this race, to fight this fight, and to be able to know that we're going to be the winners, and to know that what You're doing, You're building up our faith, strengthening us to be the children of God that'll be overcomers, to reign and rule with You forever. And I praise You and thank You for the day. Now bless the word as it goes out today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now that we're continuing in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to start right here in verse 14 again today. It says, we are to be as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Because in your ignorance and your former lust, you obviously, as a lost person, you were controlled by the enemy, and the devil was your father. A lot of people don't like to think about it like that, but the devil was your father, so he was controlling you with the lust and the things of the world. But now then, as born-again children, you're to be obedient children, and you're not to fashion yourselves according to the former lust of the world. But as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of living or conversation. So as sons and daughters of the King, when you get a hold of who you are and what you're supposed to do, all those old crazy things about lying, stealing, cheating, committing adultery, fornication, you will not go there. You will not do those things because you will understand who you are and what you can do. So you will not go there. Then you will do what verse 16 says, because it is written. He tells us not to go to these other evil things. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, the Lord is telling us we are to take on His attributes. He is holy and without sin. So that is to be our goal now. We're His children. We're no longer living over in the devil's world. We're not living over there where killing, stealing, and destroying is located. We're living over here where we have life and have life eternal. So we are to be holy because our Lord is holy. And verse 17 says, "And if you call on the Father, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear." Now you must realize that if you have to call on the Father, and I don't know a single person anywhere that does not call on the Father. Well, in fact, unfortunately, I guess I should say, I do know some people that are Christians that very rarely ever call on the Lord. They think He's too busy. He doesn't have time to take care of all their little problems. But let me tell you, God, although He's God, and yes, He has much business, He's got 6.3 billion people on the face of the earth today, but He can take the time to be one-on-one with any one of you anytime He wants to. And He knows your first name. He knows every hair on your head. They are numbered. And He knows who you are. And He loves you. And He wants to do good things for you. So don't hesitate to call upon the Father, because that's what He wants us to do. He's training us how to communicate with Him through prayer. As we communicate with Him and call upon Him, He will answer us. And He will show you great and mighty things that you know not. And it says, "And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning or your pilgrimage here in fear." So you got to realize that if you sin, you're going to have to suffer the consequences. But don't sin. Walk holy before God. He's going to bless you according to your works. Verse 18 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by traditions from the fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus." Now, you were not redeemed with the things of the world, or all these things that's physical or tangible things, but you were redeemed by the blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, our Lord, He went to that cross, and if you have seen this movie, The Passion, you will get an idea of what Christ suffered for you. I believe with all my heart that's the closest demonstration of what Christ went through of anything I have ever seen. I have taught that so many times that as I watched that movie, I thought, goodness, that's exactly what I've envisioned in my spirit as I've taught that when the Word of God says He was marred more than any man. His form or His body was beaten and bruised more than any man, so that He was unrecognizable. So they tried, the devil and those people tried their best to kill Him. They tried everything to kill Him, but they could not. No one could take His life. He lay it down at exactly the right minute, the right second. He waited till them between the oblations of the evenings at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, when the high priest down the street was sacrificing the little lamb and pouring out His blood and saying, "It is finished for the sins of the people under the law." Jesus came to fulfill the law, and at that very second, He became our Passover lamb without blemish and without spot, and He died on that cross for you and me. But praise God, He didn't stay dead. He arose again the third day, and He's alive and well today. So if you have a cross hanging around your neck or on your rearview mirror or whatever, or at your desk, or if you have one anywhere that has Jesus on it, I want you to personally know that I would never have a cross that has Jesus hanging on it. Number one, He says we're to make no symbols of Him, none whatsoever. A cross is okay, but not a cross with Jesus hanging on it, because our King is not on that cross. Yes, he died on that cross. And yes, he arose again. But he's not on that cross today. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He's sitting there in his glory. He's reigning and ruling in the universe. And he's reigning and ruling the cosmos with his mighty spoken word every day. He is no longer dead. He was only dead 3 days. And then he was raised from the dead. And he's alive forevermore. Our magnificent Lamb without spot or blemish. Praise the Lord. Verse 20 says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Just think, before the foundations of the world were laid, Christ knew what we would do, and he told the Father, I will go, and I will pay the price for their sins. All this was in the plan from beginning of creation. It's just almost impossible for a human being to grasp what they did in the laying out of the plans and the foundations of the world. It's amazing what God has done. But then he did it. Then he says, who verily was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now he did that for you. Now then, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now think about this. Who by him do believe? We believe in Jesus. We believe that God the Father raised Jesus up from the dead and gave him glory. He has glorified him above all and everything. And he has done that. And then he's made him head of all things. And he's head of the church, so that your faith and hope might be in God. So when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we put our faith in him, we know that we have eternal life. Then he says in verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Purify yourself. Purify your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Serve the Lord Jesus. Love one another. Do what the Lord says. Have a pure heart. Fervently do these things. He says in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God is incorruptible seed. This is a seed you have to sow in your heart to receive your salvation from the Lord. This is a seed you have to sow in your heart to receive your healing or your deliverance. It says in verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Just think, man on this earth, he fights and squabbles and does all kinds of things for a few measly dollars or for a home or for a car. He'll work long hours, hard hours to have a nice automobile, and sure, it's nice to have a nice car. But if you put having that car before God, you have that car or that home, and you work all of your life trying to pay for it, and then one day that home will fall apart and that car will fall apart, and none of it's going to be worth nothing to you. So whatever you do, realize, put the kingdom of God first. Seek the Lord. Walk holy before him, because everything that you do that's not of God is going to pass away on this earth. So whatever you do, don't be like the flower that's here today and gone tomorrow. But study the word of the Lord, which endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto us. As the word of God is preached to us, listen to it. Hide it in your heart. It will bring long life and health to all your flesh. I'd like to invite you to call me for complete tapes, outlines, for teaching video and audio tapes on these subjects at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can contact us on the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can get a list of many of our video and audio tapes. We'll be happy to send them to you, free and postpaid. We praise the Lord for the privilege of serving. And remember, whatever you do this week, serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And tomorrow we'll start in chapter 2. Glory to God. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, I worship you and praise you and thank you for the privilege to teach your word. I thank you for the revelations you've given me over the years, and I'm so grateful, Father, for the mighty word of the living God. And Lord, I'm thankful for how simple you made this book. You just give us an owner's manual and told us to do what you said, and you would bless us. Lord, thank you for the word. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you, Lord. As the word goes out today, reveal it to the people that they may walk in the mighty power of the word of the living God. And I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now today we've been talking about 1 Peter, and today we're in chapter 2. Today we're going to start in verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 2. The word of God says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." You're supposed to lay aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envying and all evil speaking. Now, how many people do I know? That's just pretty difficult for us to do, isn't it? We need to really work on doing what the Word of God says. We're not to have any malice or any guile or no hypocrisies. We're not to have envious. We're not to envy for anything. We're not to envy the neighbor's house or anything else. And all evil speaking. And I know this is something that has really, really taken a lot of years to overcome, is evil speaking. We don't realize that when we say something about someone, many times we're speaking evil or speaking curses over those people, because we just don't realize how easy it is to evil speak about someone. But he says, as newborn babes or new Christians, we are at the beginning, we are to desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Because just like a baby, when a baby is born, he has no teeth. Of course, he cannot chew solid food. If you were to put a piece of meat in his mouth, he'd choke on it. But it's no problem for you as an adult or a larger child to sit down and grab a piece of meat and chew on it and chew it up and swallow it. But as new Christians, you can't do that. You can't grab these magnificent things, the power of the Word of God. When you're new, you have to start out on milk of the Word, and you have to begin to learn and understand who you are. And you grow thereby in these things. It says, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is good or gracious or he's kind, he is a mighty God, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Boy, is that absolutely a fact. Our Lord, he is so awesome. You also, as a living stone, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now then, he has a name. He is a living stone. but you also are living stones. We are stones in what Paul is trying to tell us here. He's building a house. He's building a body, a spiritual house, and we are the stones in that house. So if you're going to brick a house, you're going to build you a house out of brick, you've got to go get you some brick, and you have to put them up there and stack those brick up to make you a house. But those are dead stones. Those stones are not alive. But you and I are living stones. We are considered stones in this spiritual house, and he's building a house. And out of this house, he's building it out of stones, but they're alive. And that's you and me. And we're as lively or living stones, we are built up into a spiritual house. We are a holy priesthood, and we're to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, in verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. In other words, he's the cornerstone. Jesus, that's who he's talking about. Jesus Christ is that wonderful, precious cornerstone. The cornerstone that was built up. I mean, he is absolutely precious, and we build around him. Now, there's no other foundation that you can lay except Jesus Christ and him crucified. There is but one Lord, one God, one Savior, one Holy Spirit, one baptism. Is all one. Jesus is everything. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But the three of them are one mighty God. And Jesus was that chief cornerstone that was laid, and that all of us that will believe on him shall not be confounded. Praise the King. Verse 7 says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. I'm telling you, when I think about how precious Jesus is, I think about just last night, a little lady called me, and she's been coming to my church with her husband, and they've been listening to some of my teaching, and they've never heard the kind of teaching that I do. There's not a lot of it out there, but I teach that you have power and authority over the forces of darkness, and that they must be subject to you in the mighty name of Jesus, because it is written in the Word of God. This little girl had a tremendous pain in her side, her back, and her leg, and her husband told her, said, we've been listening to Thurman's tapes. Why don't we just rebuke that thing like he says and command it to leave? So she said, I did. And it did not leave. She said, my husband did, and it did not leave. And so later that night, she called me, and she said, Mr. Scrivener, I guess God just doesn't love me. I said, oh, yeah, honey. He loves you with all of his heart, and he is precious to us. And I said, the more you know about him, the more precious he becomes. I said, you've not spent the time with him yet. Your faith level is not there. I said, let me rebuke that pain for you. I said, and I'm going to prove to you that Jesus loves you with all of his heart, and he's precious to you. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that pain, and I command that pain to leave you and go to the pit now and never return. In the name of Jesus, I said, thank you, Lord, for giving us power over pain and sickness and disease. I said, now, honey, your pain is gone. Jesus Christ has healed you. And she immediately burst into tears. She said, Mr. Scrivener, it's gone. All of my pain is gone. Said, he does love me. I said, of course, honey. He loves you with all of his heart. But your faith level is just not there yet. I said, you've just barely got started in this faith walk. I said, you're still technically a babe in Christ. So you're still being fed with the sincere milk of the Word. But I said, continue to chew on those video and audio tapes. I said, they will build your faith and they'll raise you up to a meat Christian where you can see God do great and mighty things in your life. Because once we learn these things, unto those of us which believe, he becomes more and more precious every day when you learn. Oh, goodness. He is so precious. But unto them which be disobedient. Now, you don't want to be one of those. Because he says, to them that be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Just think, those people will be crushed because they will not believe. He has become a stumbling block to them because once they hear the word and they're disobedient to it. Oh, goodness, how sad it is. That's why we need to learn how to pray for people and learn how to go to the third heaven, like Hebrews 4:16 says, and catch ourselves up there and do our warfare praying from up there and rebuke the enemy and command the enemy to get his hands off of your loved ones and not let him have them, because you're in a spiritual war on this earth and the war is for the souls of people. And then after he loses your soul, then his next goal is to try to destroy your flesh as quickly as he can, so you'll not be a threat to him. But whatever you do, begin to understand who you are in Christ and what you can do. It's such a wonderful thing. Verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I think about what Colossians says in chapter 1, that when we become Christians, he delivers us out of the kingdom of darkness, and he translates us into the kingdom of light of his dear Son. Oh, praise the Lord, to think that we were living over there in the enemy's camp, where stealing, killing, and destroying is firsthand. And that devil, he can take us at his will when we're lost, and he can do devastating things to us. But when we become born-again Christians, praise the Lord, that beast has no power over us until we give it to him. And then the Lord has given us so many awesome, wonderful, precious, mighty blessings in this book that we can do these wonderful things. But he has literally made us a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are no longer in the kingdom of darkness. We're in the kingdom of light. So let's start living like children of the king and not the devil's kids. Let's come out of that sin, that sickness and disease, and let's walk holy before God and see his glory. I invite you to call me for complete teachings or video or audio tapes on all kinds of teachings. My phone number is 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can get to us on the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can see a list of audio and video tapes. We'll send them to you free and postpaid. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries again today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, I praise you and worship you and thank you for the privilege to teach your word. I praise you and thank you for this word, to think that we can be blessed and have this magnificent, complete book, the Owner's Manual, so that we can read it and study it and learn who we are, what we can do, and what we're supposed to do, and what you will do, and so we can know you and know the wonderful things you will do. So I praise you and worship you for the word. And as it goes out today, I ask you to bless it to the hearts and minds of everyone that hears it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're in 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 10 today. In verse 10 it says, "Which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Now he's telling us there that we, right now, the verse above that, verse 9, says we are a chosen generation now that we become children of the King. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praise of Him who hath called us out of darkness, or out of the kingdom of hell, into the marvelous light of the kingdom of heaven. And in times past, we were not even a people, but are now the people of God. What a privilege to think that we were out there digging in the trash cans, nothing in spiritual world. We had nothing. We were lost and headed to hell. We were children of the devil, and we belonged to the enemy. And God, in His infinite grace and mercy, He sent His Son that He could come and die on that cross so that anybody at any time could come to Christ. There is no longer a sin problem on the earth, only a sinner problem on the earth. Any sinner can come to Christ at any time and accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and can be saved and be delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light and become this magnificent chosen generation. What a privilege. What a blessing. Oh, what a blessing it is to become the people of God and to have obtained this wonderful mercy that we have. Oh, what a blessing this is. In verse 11, Peter says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance or every regulation of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well." Now, think about submitting yourself to the king as supreme. In other words, you can take this as the King of Glory. Submit yourself to the Lord. Be obedient to His word. And that's, if you want to walk in His power, you're most definitely going to have to submit yourselves to every ordinance or regulation or the freedom of the Word of God. Today, as Christians in faith, we are not under the law at all, but we're walking in grace. But under grace, grace has a more stringent requirement than the law did. Under the law, you could commit adultery and be guilty of it. Under the law, you could kill a person and be guilty of it. But under grace, you can just get angry with your brother without a cause, and you can be guilty of murder. Or you can look at a woman to lust after her in your heart and be guilty of adultery. So grace, to walk in grace, has a greater requirement than the law. So, but you can do it because of the Holy Ghost. Now, you couldn't do it without the Holy Ghost. You couldn't even walk under the law because you didn't have the Holy Ghost. But today we have the Holy Ghost, so we can walk in this now because we have the Holy Ghost. But not only are we supposed to submit ourselves to every ordinance and be subject unto the king as supreme, but it says also unto governors, or all of the governing organization. You mean that means that a Christian is not supposed to steal out of someone's store? Absolutely, that's what that means. You're not supposed to break the speed limit. Absolutely, that's what that means. So if we're supposed to yield to all the governing agencies, that means we're supposed to pay our income tax. You're supposed to pay what you're legally supposed to pay. You're not supposed to cheat, but you are to take every deduction that you possibly can, because it is the right and the freedom of the American citizen. They give you a set of rules and codes to go by. You are to pay your taxes, but you are to declare every deduction you possibly can so you don't pay more than you're supposed to. But when it comes to driving, how many Christians continuously drive faster than the speed limit? And they say, that's okay, I've got a radar detector. No, as a Christian, you should never have a radar detector. You should obey the laws of the land, and you should stay within the confines of the speed limit. Now, if it says a school zone is 20 or 30, whatever it says, you should obey that. It says if the highway speed is 65 or 70 or whatever it is where you live, then you're not supposed to go beyond those limits. The Lord clearly says here, submit yourselves to every regulation or ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. Now then, since the governing agencies are out there, if you are a Christian and you are breaking the law, speeding, and a police officer stops you, one of these governing agencies, they are sent for the punishment of the evildoer. Now, if you're breaking the law, are you an evildoer? Yes, you are. So if you're driving 80 and the speed limit 60 and one of those guys catches you, you're going to pay the consequence. So how do you keep from paying the consequence? Drive the speed limit or below. How do you do that? You present yourself or submit yourself unto the regulations of the land. You do not break them. As Christians, we of all people should live within the rules of our governing agencies. Now, whatever you do, do the best you can to do that, because when you do that, you will bring glory and honor to the Lord. Because it says here in verse 15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So if you obey, you will put to silence the ignorance of the foolish men. Now then, how many times have you went out to witness to someone? If you have done this, and I trust you have, because if you have not been out witnessing and ministering to people, you're disobedient to the Great Commission. The Lord said we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I mean every creature. And he says here, for as free, after in verse 16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Now then, we are free as Christians. We have this liberty to do anything we want to do as Christians. But if you're led by the Holy Spirit, you won't never do anything that's against your brother. You won't do anything that ever breaks the laws or the rules of the land. But he says, now, since you are free, being as free, but not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. So, just like a lady walked into my church the other day, and she said, my mother asked me to have you pray for her. I said, what's wrong with your mother? So I said, where's your mother? She said, well, she's at home. She didn't want to come. I said, is she sick? She said, no. I said, then what do you want me to pray for? She said, my mother said to pray. She'd heard you say that if two of you on earth agreed about anything, the Lord would do it. I said, well, that's true. That's in Matthew 18:19. She said, my mother said, would you pray for her that she'd win the lottery? I said, absolutely no, I will not. I said, you're not supposed to be gambling. I said, when you do that, you're wasting God's money, and no Christian should ever waste a nickel on a lottery. I said, if you want to get some good return on your investment, give it to the poor and needy. I said, if you got a few extra dollars, give it to someone that's in need. And I said, I guarantee the Lord says if you'll give, it will be given unto you. So I can guarantee you, you'll prosper much more by giving into God's kingdom somewhere than you will by giving into the devil's kingdom through the lottery. Now then, it says that verse 17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, that's a bunch of Christians, fear God. Now, of course, that's the beginning of wisdom. When you get a hold of the fact of who God is, you will fear him. I guarantee, because all he would have to do with just any little thing, and you could be gone. It would be that simple to take you out. Nobody would ever even know where you went. That's how easy it would be for God to take us out of the world. But since he loves us, he wants to do good things for us. Love him and honor him and love the brethren, and you will have a greater life. Verse 18 clearly says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to them that are froward or harsh. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. We are to be subject to them, and not only to those that do good to you and are gentle, but those that are also very harsh. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you should take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. So, whenever you're buffeted or reprimanded or whatever, be gentle, regardless, especially if you haven't done anything wrong, don't retaliate. Just be gentle and kind and press on toward the mark of the high calling of God. I'd like to invite you to call me at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. I'll be happy to send you these teachings. Or if you contact us on the web, you can see all of our speaking engagements and everything's all there on the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can listen to these programs and all the programs since the last 6 months. You can listen to them over again. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, we praise you and worship you and thank you for the wonderful things you've given us. We praise you for this beautiful book, the Word of God. Father, as we study this book, I ask you to reveal to us the truths of this book. Lord, we are so grateful for this owner's manual that you showed us. And I'm so grateful for the wonderful things that you do. As the word goes out today, use it for your glory, because only you are worthy. We praise you and thank you now, Father, for the privilege to teach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're in 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to start here in verse 18 today. We were stopped off right about there last week. But it says there, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh or the froward. That's hard to do sometimes. It's easy to be gentle and kind to people that are gentle and kind to you. But sometimes when people are harsh with you, it's a little difficult to go there. But this is what the Lord tells us to do. In verse 19, he says, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Now, if there's not anything wrong, if you suffered wrongfully, then don't get all upset about it. It says in verse 20, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently, but if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Now, if you've broken some rule, you've done something that you're not supposed to do, and your boss called you in and read you the riot act, then you're supposed to take that patiently. You're not supposed to retaliate. If you do, you may get fired from your job. But if they call you in and read you the riot act when you didn't do anything wrong, and you take it quietly and gently and don't retaliate, the Lord says in His sight, that's wonderful. You just take it because you're one of His children. He took it for you when He hadn't done anything wrong. So He knows exactly where you're coming from here. And then He says in verse 21 that after you take this suffering and it is acceptable with God, He says in verse 21, For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Well, He's giving us all this example up here of what we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to suffer patiently. If we didn't do anything wrong, we're still supposed to suffer patiently without retaliating or without any guile or anything like that. But He says in verse 21 that we were called to suffer, that because Christ also suffered for us, He left us an example that we should follow His steps. Well, what was that example? Well, He doesn't leave anything out. He tells you exactly what that example is. In verse 22, this is the example we're to follow in His steps. It says in 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Now, you hear a lot of people today teach, well, yes, we're Christians, but it's okay for us to live in sin. No, that's not what the Word says. You are not to live in sin. So many people got the wrong idea because we're under grace. We have a license to sin. That is not true. Don't listen to the devil, because that will open the door for him to get legal access to you. When you transgress the law through sin, you are guilty, and you open the door for the demonic world to come in to steal, kill, and to destroy. So don't go there. He says we are to take this example that Jesus left us, who Jesus did no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth. So you're not supposed to sin, and there's not supposed to be any guile in your mouth. Then he says, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? I mean, it's too easy for all of us to come down off of that cross. We are to stay on the cross. We are to not retaliate. Then he says in verse 24, says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Now, if Jesus in his own self, if he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and we're dead to sins, then we should live unto righteousness. But how many of us Christians come down off the cross and don't live righteously? We do retaliate. We do speak evil about people. Well, we need to repent and go about our ways. Now then, he says if you meet all the criteria up above, if you've done everything he said there, he said then, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, I was guilty of quoting this last part of this verse in a healing school for a couple of years, at by the stripes of Jesus you're healed. But then one day the Lord revealed to me that he put several verses in front of that that had requirements. So if you want to walk healed, you got to meet all the requirements. Woo! I mean, Lord, you mean I got to do all those things by your stripes to be healed? And that's exactly what he's saying. You're to walk holy before the Lord. No guile, no deceit, no sin. You're to walk holy before the Lord. When you do, the devil has nothing in you, and he cannot come and put any kind of sickness and disease or pain upon you if you will walk in obedience to God's word. If you'll do all the above, what he said, then he says, by my stripes you were healed. And I'm telling you, it's a wonderful place to walk. He says in verse 25, for you were as sheep going astray, but you are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So that's, he is the shepherd of our soul. Now we go to chapter 3. Likewise, now we're going to totally change gears right here. Now we're going to go, he's going to talk about wives and husbands for a little while. Likewise, as we've talked about how we're supposed to be up above there and with no sin, and we're supposed to walk in righteousness with no guile and none of those things, he says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife or the behavior of the wife. Now then, this is very difficult, I know, for a woman to grasp. But the woman is to be in subjection to her husband. The word of God says to, but you're supposed to be kind to him, gentle to him. And the Lord clearly says there, if you're in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word. Now then that means that they may be lost or they may be saved, but they're just not doing what the word of God says. They're not walking in love. They're not doing something right. Then the Lord tells you, as a submitted woman to her husband, and you walk in love to him and the word of God, that your husband may without the word be won by the behavior of the wife. So when they see the magnificence of how wonderful you walk and how you love the Lord and walk in obedience to his word, then he more than likely will become under conviction by the Holy Spirit, and that man will come into the kingdom and get saved. Because the Lord says in verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting the hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be with a hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now there's a great, great statement from the Lord that the women, you are to have a very good conversation with your husbands, and it's not to be, you're not to go out and try to dress fancy to win over your husband. In other words, you're not to wear a dress cut down to your waist button, your navel button, or something like that. You're not to go out and put the fanciest hairdo you can imagine to try to win over your husband. But you're to walk holy before God in quietness and gentleness. If he sees the beauty of God in you and you're dressed appropriately, not exposing parts of yourself like so many women do today, but if you'll walk with everything covered up, but yet you'll walk in this magnificent love that the Lord's talking about here, you will win over your husband. You do not have to put on a lot of gold or different dresses. You don't have to go out and spend $500 for a dress or for a ring or for earrings or something like that. All you've got to do is walk in love. And if you'll walk in love, you will win your husband over. Verse 4 says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. If people could just get a hold of that, all of us, me included, we need to get a hold of having that quiet and gentle spirit, that meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And after this, And after this manner is the old time, the holy women, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Now, this is a magnificent statement. For after this manner, in the old times, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Isn't that wonderful that this Sarah, she left us such an example to the ladies, to her husband. What a woman of God she was. I'd like to invite you to call me at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to send you audio and videotapes, free and postpaid. I also have a healing school that you can find out on the web. If you're having problems with your health, go to my website at www.tlsm.org, and there you'll see all my engagements, my healing schools. I'll teach you how to walk in divine health, and we've seen the Lord heal many people. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scribner again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you, we worship you, and thank you because you are the King of the universe. You're the Lord and God of this. Oh, we praise you, Lord, and thank you for the privilege to know you as our Lord and Savior. What a mighty God you are. How we worship you and we praise you. Lord, as the word goes out today, I ask you to reveal it to the people that they may gain knowledge and insight from the word of God and who they are. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're in 1 Peter chapter 3 this week, and we're going to press on here. We're down about verse 4. We're going to start over there, at least in verse 4. But it says here, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." Now, the women are supposed to be in subjection to their own husbands. Now, a lot of people seem to think that women are supposed to be subject to men, but that's not the case. The woman's only supposed to be subject to one man, and that's her husband. And he says here in verse 6, "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement." In other words, the ladies today are absolutely to be obedient and obey their husbands, providing, of course, those husbands are godly men. Now, if you've got a woman that's married to a man, and this man is not a man of God, and he is mean and wants to hurt her or do bad things to her, then the woman is not to be subject to that man. But I would say for that woman to get out of that home. You're not to stay around if you have an abusive husband. Now, then you can pray for him. You can do all kinds of wonderful things to help him through prayer. But you don't have to stay in an environment with an unholy man that was not gentle and kind to you. When God is saying here that the woman is to be that gentle and quiet lady to her husband, this is if the man treats her as the weaker vessel with love and respect, whether he be a man of God or not. But if he is a man of God and he does love the Lord, then you as the lady, you are to be subject unto your own husband, and you are to be gentle and kind to him. And if necessary, just like the Lord says here, now this is words from the Lord. I didn't write this book, but in verse 6 of 1 Peter 3, chapter 3, verse 6, it says, even as Sarah, which obeyed Abraham, even calling him Lord. And then the Lord says, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. So, that's what he's telling the women to do with their husbands. Then he goes into something with the husband. Then he says, he tells the husband exactly what he is to do. It says in verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them, or your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now then, men, if you're supposed to dwell with your wives according to knowledge, some of you guys are like me, you need to gain some knowledge about your wife. You need to understand what it is that she likes and she don't like. In other words, guys, let me tell you something. It took me a while to realize that your wife likes a birthday card. Now, I realize that most men could care less whether they ever get a birthday card or a Valentine card or any of those things. It just doesn't seem to do a whole lot for us men. But guess what? We always get one. Why? Because our wives, they love those kind of things, and that's what they do, and that's why they do those things for you. So, if you're supposed to live with them according to knowledge, then I suggest that you learn or gain some knowledge about what it is that makes your wife tick. And if you'll study the Word of God, you'll learn. And so, if it's buying her a birthday card every birthday, if it's taking her out to dinner, buying her something nice on your anniversary, all those little things, don't forget them. Because they mean a whole lot to your wife. I mean a whole lot. And some of us old men, you know, we'll think, gee, I don't care if anybody ever got me a birthday card again. I know, you probably are exactly where I was. But if you want your wife to continue to love you, you better get her a birthday card pretty regular, like every year. And then Valentine's and all those other wonderful times, get her a nice card. And it wouldn't hurt anything, men, if just every once in a while you just come in and bring your wife a half a dozen red roses or something. It'll be a great investment into your marriage. Be sure and tell your wife you love her often, because you never know how long you're going to have her. They can be here this morning and gone in a minute. I experienced that a few years ago when my wife and my daughter were both killed one Saturday morning in a car wreck. I had no idea that when they left home that morning a little over 2 years ago, that would be the last time I would see either one of them alive. So, I am glad I told my wife and my daughter that I loved them that day. So, anyway, likewise ye husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now you got to remember that woman, she's a daughter, if she is a daughter of the king, and you're a son of the king, then if you're not dwelling gently with her, you're dealing incorrectly with the king, because God is in her too, if she's a Christian. So, if you don't deal with your wives correctly, since Christ is in there, he knows what you're doing, he knows what you're saying, he knows the intent of your heart, and if you don't do things right with your wife, he said then your prayers will be hindered. I mean, I think about the people that says, well, we're praying about this. Well, forget it. It don't do any good to pray about it when you're not walking in obedience to God's word. He's not going to hear your prayer. So you need to make sure that your prayers, your sins are all confessed, and you are walking holy before God. If you do, he will hear your prayer, and he will answer your prayer. And oh, how I praise him and thank him and worship him for answering prayers and doing all these wonderful things. But don't get into a condition of being mean with your wife, because if you're mean to your wife and you do not honor your wife, or you do not treat her as the weaker vessel, the Lord says your prayers will be hindered. In fact, they just won't be answered. That's what he's trying to say. Verse 8, he says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. So we're supposed to be of one mind and be courteous to the brothers. In verse 9, he says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise a blessing, knowing that you are therefore thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. So why should we, what happens when we return evil for evil? Evil comes back to us. What happens whenever we bless people? He says, well, if you bless people, he says, know that you are therefore called that you should inherit a blessing. So if you want to inherit a blessing, you got to bless people. So if you bless people, you have to, if you want to be blessed, you have to bless them. That's what I'm trying to say. In verse 10, it's a very awesome statement. For he that will love life and see good days. Now, how many of us like to live there? I think everybody does. But it says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Now then, if you want to have good days and a long life, you're going to have to refrain your tongue from evil. That's clearly what the scripture says there. Then he says in verse 11, let him eschew or turn from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now then, if you want to get your prayers answered, you've got to stop doing evil. Because if you do evil and you start talking about people, and you start making fun of people and talking evil about them, not only will you not have a great life and see good days, but it will become bad because the torturers, the tormentors, the evil spirits will be released on you, and they will come and begin to torment you, all because you have not done what the Word of God says. And it says, and the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Wow. So if you do evil, you're not going to get your prayers answered. If you don't treat your wife right, your prayers are going to be hindered. Peter has a lot of reasons in here why we don't get our prayers answered, doesn't he? But he says there what we must do. And if we will do all those things, then the Lord, his ears and his eyes are open to those that are righteous, that walk holy before him, which means he will answer your prayer. In verse 13, it says, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Now then, what is he saying there? In other words, who is he that will harm you if you be followers of him that which do good? In other words, if you're walking in obedience to God's word, you're doing what he says, then those tormenting spirits, those evil spirits, will not be able to get to you. They won't do you any physical damage. But if you do not, they most definitely will. So, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? No one can harm you. No one in the flesh, no one in the evil things of this world, the spirit world. But if you do not, then these evil tormenting spirits will come and they will begin to cause you to suffer. So walk in obedience to the Word of God and have a good life. We'll take up right there tomorrow. I'd like to invite you to call me at 940-242 for these teachings. 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. Also, you can contact us on the web, www.tlsm.org. T tlsm.org. And there you can send us an email, and we'll be happy to send you our audio and video teachings. Also, where we're going to be speaking, all of our engagements are listed on the web. So we'd love to speak to you again tomorrow. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scribner again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, we're so grateful. Thank you, Lord, for the magnificent Word of God. I am so grateful, Lord, for the privilege to share your Word with others. I'm so grateful for the anointing of the magnificent, wonderful Holy Ghost and how He works on this earth today. How great it is, Lord, to work for you and to know that you're the King and that you're my King. And that you can do all things, that nothing is hard for you. I'm grateful that you're my King. Now, as the word goes out today, bless it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, we're going to start on here about where we left off in 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to go back up and recover just a second here, starting with verse 12. It says there in verse 12, 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Now, who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Now, who is he talking about here? He says, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Well, then he says, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? What he's trying to say there in verse 13, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? In other words, who is it that does you harm when you follow evil? Well, of course, it's Satan and his host of evil spirits. So, when you see what he's trying to say here, as long as you're following that which is good, those that do evil will not be able to touch you. Because in verse 14 he says, but and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. In other words, these critters, these evil spirits, these unclean spirits, they come by to torment you. But if you haven't opened the door by doing evil, they can't torment you. So they may come by and try, but they can do nothing unless you give them legal right through sin. So you don't have to be afraid of them anymore. Then he says there, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now then, every one of us as Christians, we should be walking in obedience to the Word of God, and we should be having the revelation from God as we read and study this magnificent book. We should have this magnificent testimony in our heart that we're ready to give to anyone that comes, so that people will know that they will know that they will know that we have had an encounter with the living God. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set Him apart in there. Do a good work with the Lord, and be ready always, not sometimes, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I'm telling you, we should absolutely have such great and awesome testimonies in our heart to pour out to people. We should never meet a human being we don't talk to about Jesus. We should tell them about the best thing that ever happened to us. Wow. Verse 16 says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Now then, those evil spirits that are in people, and that's where they are, most of them are in people, And those people, as they will allow those evil spirits to speak out of their mouth, they will accuse you and speak evil of you, but they will be falsely accusing you because your goodness in Christ. So whatever you do, don't listen to the enemy. Serve the Lord and do what he says. And verse 17 says, "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Now, we know that it is the will of God for you to suffer for evil-doing, because if you do evil, then whoever it is, whether it be in the spirit world or in the physical world, if you're even driving speed exceeding the speed limit, you take a chance of having to pay a ticket. And therefore, the money that you worked for, you're going to have to pay a lot of it out to the officers or to the court because you've broken the laws. Now, but if you don't break the law, you don't have to sweat those things. Well, if you don't break the spiritual laws, you don't have to sweat those things either. But the Lord says, it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Now, a lot of people go to do good for the Lord and are preaching his word and everything else. And people stone them or they throw them out or some of them even get killed. But if you get killed doing the work of the Lord, and it's unfortunate that some people do lose their lives, well, at least when you get went home, you will went home serving the Lord. Verse 18 says, "For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God walked in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water." Isn't that amazing that these people, that after Christ's death and resurrection, or actually after his death, it says here, he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. He told them what he had come to do. And it says, which sometimes were disobedient. And there was no doubt a lot of the people were disobedient back in the days of Noah. They didn't believe, but the Lord went and preached to them anyway. And he told them what he was doing. And in the atoning death of himself. In verse 21 says, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Verse 22 says, "Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." Right now, our King, Jesus, a man, an authentic man, a man probably 6 foot tall, probably weighs 180, 90, 200 pounds. The man that walked on this earth, a man just like you and me, a God that became a man, and now that authentic man, which ascended and went back to heaven, a flesh and bone man, sits at the right hand of the Father, ruling the cosmos. Isn't that amazing? The King of the universe. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he loved you and me enough to become flesh and blood and then to die on the cross so that we could have eternal life. And then he went back to the Father and he done all these things and he did it all for you and me. What a God we serve. And since he's gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, all the angels and all authorities and all powers, both in heaven and in earth, that means all the angelic beings that are good angels, all of the angelic beings that are bad angels, all the principalities and powers, Satan himself, everything has been made subject unto him because of what he did on that cross. Oh, are we praising the King for that. Glory to God. Then chapter 4 says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." So we're supposed to cease from sin. "That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." So as you see there, we are absolutely no longer to live in the flesh and the lust of the flesh of men, but we're to live according to the will of God. So it says, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." In other words, this sounds like the kind of life that most people, it's unfortunate that so many people that even profess to be Christians, we walk in these things. And we've all done it to a degree, all of us. But if I wasn't quite as bad as some people, but still, I did terrible things. And I'm so ashamed of the things I did as a Christian, as a young man. If I had only have had a really strong, awesome example. But there were none. There was not a single strong example of Christ in the entire community that I was raised up in. I mean, there was men that loved God, but they didn't talk about it. You know, they were not walking in a demonstration of the Spirit's power. I didn't realize how magnificently wonderful God is. So we need men that'll walk in a demonstration of the Spirit's power, that'll walk in such love with the Lord that when they speak in His name, He shows up to do miracles and signs and wonders. Therefore, the younger men will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the King is the King. And it's a shame that we don't do that today. So, when all these bad things that we have walked in, all of us have walked in it, even when we're lost, we walk in those things and walk in them almost continuously. But when we get saved, we're supposed to stop walking in those things. And it's so unfortunate that so many people in the church still walk in this lasciviousness, the lust, the excess of wine, the revelings, the banquetings, and abominable things, and idolatries. What a shame that people walk in that. But it says, "Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." So whenever you stop running with those kind of people, they will think something wrong and they'll speak evil of you. Praise the Lord. We'd like to invite you to call us at 940-242 for audio and video tapes. 940-242-2106. Or you can get to us on the web. On the web, you can see where we're speaking, where our meetings are going to be held, and where we're going to be going. And also, you can get to us there and order our video and audio tapes. But they're all free. We'll be happy to send them to you. All you got to do is fill out the email on the website and tell us what you want, and we'd be happy to send those things to you. Whatever you do this week, praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries again today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, I worship You and I praise You and I thank You because You are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. What a mighty God we serve. Lord, I thank You and praise You for all these wonderful things. Now, as the word goes out today, I ask You to bless it and I ask You to touch people's heart with the word of God. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're in 1 Peter chapter 4 today. I'm going to start there with verse 4. It says, "Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead?" Now then, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? You ever stop to think who that really is? That's Jesus, the King. we are going to give account to him. And when he talks about he's going to judge the quick and the dead, that means the lost, the saved and the lost. So all of them are going to have to give account to Jesus. In verse 6 it says, "For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit." Now then, because he's going to be the judge, and for this cause, the good news was preached also to them that are dead. Now that was those souls we were talking about a while ago over there in the last chapter. But as he went and preached to them that were in the spirits that were held in prison, these were the ones that he's talking about, to those so that they could hear the good news. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." In other words, everything is coming to a close. We're at the end of the age. And who knows? Nobody has any idea, really, how long it will be. The Lord says even the angels in heaven do not know the day or the hour that the Lord's going to return. Because if we knew, if he were to tell one of us, then the devil would know, because naturally we would be telling someone. So nobody knows when he's coming back. But the thing about it is, you don't know if he may be coming back for you today or tomorrow. Who knows? In 5 minutes from now, your life may be over. There's people I'm talking to right now that may be driving down the road that in 5 minutes they will be no more. I have seen that happen. Somebody's driving down the road listening to a radio, and 5 minutes later, they're dead in eternity. So there's no guarantees. We don't know what we can do. We just don't know what's going to happen from day to day. But he says there, "You should therefore be sober and watch under prayer," because you don't know what's going to happen. And it says, "And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins." So we need to walk in love toward all people. It says, "Use hospitality one to another without grudging." Use hospitality one to another without grudging. "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." The manifold grace of God. It is a magnificent thing. It says in verse 11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the words of God. If any man ministers, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth." Because God gives each one of us different gifts. Whatever gifts he gives you, use it to the full, to the glory of God. He says, "Let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." That's absolutely the way we should do it. We should give him all the glory and praise. We should minister to people in the way that the Lord has ministered these gifts to us. And he clearly tells us over in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians that we are to come behind in no gifts. Well, lots of people are like I was most of my life. They don't even know what the gifts are. So how are you going to come behind in gifts if you don't know what they are? How are you going to receive something by faith you don't know is yours? Because this kingdom that we live in and reign and rule in is a kingdom of faith. And if you don't know what's yours, you cannot receive by faith what you don't know. So the only way you can learn what's rightfully yours as a son of God is to get in this book and begin to meditate on this book day and night. Then he said, "Beloved," in verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Now, wait a minute now. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." But he says, "Rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." Wow. When you stop and think about that, that means that you're going to come upon a fiery trial and test. What? I'm going to have to go through a fiery trial and test, and I'm going to receive it with joy. Well, I don't think most of us have ever read that. We just don't believe that, because when bad things happen to us, we automatically want to get mad at God and say, God, why me? I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to have a great life. Nothing's supposed to happen bad to me. Well, let me tell you, that Saturday morning, almost 2.5 years ago, whenever the fiery trial came to my house, when the devil killed my wife and my daughter and tried to kill the two little girls, he almost got it all done. He did wipe out my wife and my daughter in a car wreck. My wife was 41.5 years, and my daughter was 24 years old, but that devil had slipped in there, and he had killed my wife, causing her to veer over into another lane. He stopped her heart. She ran into a truck head-on, killed my 24-year-old daughter, and almost killed these grandbabies. When I got to the hospital, the doctor told me that the little six-year-old, her head was busted open right above her eyebrows, and her pelvis were crushed. And he said, if she lives, she'll have brain damage, and her pelvis will take 2.5 to 3 months minimum before she can walk with a walker. And of course, I will open the Word of God, and I know that I'm going through a tremendous fiery trial and test, and I know God's promises, and I know the answer to all of His promises are yes and amen. So I turned the Bible, opened the Bible, and quoted John 16:23-24, where the Lord literally gives me a back-to-back promise. I can ask Him for anything, and all I got to do is believe that my joy will be full, and it's mine. So I turned and told everybody, no, little Kelly, she'll live, she'll run, she'll play. I guarantee it, because Jesus made me the promises. And in 1 week, a little girl with a busted open head and two crushed pelvics, in 1 week, she was out of ICU. 1 more week, she was out of the hospital. And 3 days later, she was back in school running and playing like nothing had ever happened. A little girl with a busted open head, 2.5 weeks before, the doctor said she might not live, is completely out of the hospital, doing wonderfully well, back in school running and playing. But my little granddaughter was far more serious than that. She was 3 years old. Her seat belt had been cut, and she'd hit the seat in front of her at 140 mile an hour closure speed, and it busted her skull plumb open in the front, fractured it 5 places, tore her face all to pieces, disconnected her brain stem, disconnected her eyes from her brain, crushed her little chest, her face, you couldn't even tell who she was. Her face was so tore up. Who knows how many bones were broken in her face. But her face was just tore, bruised, and battered all to pieces. And then her right knee was crushed and her left leg broken in 2 places. And the finest doctors in Cook's Medical Center in Fort Worth said it was impossible for her to live. But I took a verse, John 15:7. Now I've come to realize we either don't know this book or we don't believe this book. We don't trust this book, but I now got to where I trust this book. John 15:7, Jesus said, again, I tell you, that if two of you on earth, that's Matthew 18:19. John 15:7 says, if my words remain in you and you remain in me, you can ask me whatever you want to, and I will do it for you. So, since that's a blank check from the king, I quoted that word to the king, and I said, Father, you told me I could ask anything in your name. So I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to raise up little Kelly, Caitlin, and I ask you to do such a mighty miracle of restoration on her that everybody will know that you did it. And in 2 weeks, there was not a scar or a mark on her little face. The Lord had completely healed her little face without a mark or a scar. They said it was impossible for her to breathe. But when they went ahead and pulled the breathing tubes out of her, they said, she'll die. I said, she will not die. She'll breathe over that machine on her own. So whenever they pulled the tubes out of her, she breathed over the machine on their own, much to their amazement. But I knew what the Lord was going to do because He promised it in His Word. So anyway, after a month, we go home from ICU with no surgeries of no kind. We go home from ICU. I take the Word of God and the promises of God, and I begin to stand on these promises, and I begin to see the Lord completely restore this little girl. And in a matter of a few months of speaking the word over her, she is fully recovered. Her eyes came back. Her brain stem was reconnected. Her face was totally restored. And today she's 6 years old, back in school, running and playing. So if you'll just walk in obedience to God's word, that's what the king will do for you. Then he says in verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, it may be glad also with exceeding joy. In other words, it's difficult to rejoice whenever you're going through these kind of suffering and pain. But if you will rejoice and stand on the word of God and not get upset with the Lord, but stand in obedience to his word, it's just wonderful. If you can do what he says here in verse 12, he said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. It wasn't a strange thing. It's a fiery trial. I went through my fiery trials. I passed my tests because the Lord raised up not only my two grandbabies, but he raised up many other children that were in Cook's Medical Center that were on their deathbed. I praise the King for the privilege to serve him. He is a mighty God. He says that in verse 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. So that's where you and I need to go. We need to realize that if we'll be obedient to do what the Lord says, as we do everything he says, he will be glorified because he'll do great and mighty works. And he was glorified in this event because everybody knew that only Jesus could have done what he done to all those little children. Praise the King. I'd like to invite you to give me a call. 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to send you audio and video tapes. Or you can get to us on the web at www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. And there you can send a request for audio and video tapes. We'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I worship you and praise you and thank you because you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of Gods. And I worship you and praise you and thank you for the great and mighty things you do. Lord, thank you for the word. Thank you for the miracles and the signs and wonders and things you do. Thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thank you, Lord, that you're a faith God. And thank you for showing us how to walk in faith so we can see you do these great and mighty things. And I worship you and praise you and thank you. Now, Lord, as the word goes out today, open people's hearts and minds that they may receive the magnificent word of the living God and they may walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're in 1 Peter. We've been teaching in 1 Peter. We're in chapter 4, and we're going to start today in verse 15. 1 Peter 4:15. It says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody, or a meddler in other men's matters or affairs. So what are we supposed to do as Christians? None of us are supposed to suffer as a murderer. We're not supposed to murder. Now then, under the new covenant, the law of faith, if you're angry with your brother without a cause, you're guilty of murder in the spirit world. That's something. It says, or as a thief. In other words, you're not supposed to steal. Or as an evildoer. Or a meddler. You're not supposed to be involved as those kind of things as a born-again Christian. Verse 16 says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. In other words, there's a lot of people who do suffer as Christians. A lot of people make fun of us. They do lots of strange things. And it's all because they're controlled by the forces of darkness and not by the Spirit of God. So just consider what's going on. It's the spirits of hell that's causing these problems. And don't even let it bother you. Just press on. It says, for verse 17, it says, for the time is come, that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that they shall not the gospel, not hear, obey the gospel of God? In other words, people that don't obey the gospel of God, what's going to be the consequence? It's going to be bad. It's really going to be bad. And then verse 18 says, and if the righteous scarcely can be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? That's scary, isn't it? If the righteous scarcely be saved. In other words, we're the righteous, but we're not going to get in over the top. We're just barely going to come in under the blood of Jesus. I'm grateful for the blood of Jesus. So we need to make sure that we're walking holy and walking in obedience to the Word of God. Verse 19 says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Chapter 5 says, the elder which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 2 says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready man. In other words, feed the flock of God, which is among you, the people. It's amazing that the people have to be so hand-fed. I mean, most people are just like I was most of my life. I spent so little time reading and studying God's Word. And that's why I always had the problems I had, because I could not receive something by faith that I didn't know was mine. Now I understand exactly why I didn't do any reading and studying, because every time I would sit down to read or study, the enemy would put me to sleep, or he would do something to me. And so, therefore, I never gained any ground in the kingdom of God. Or I might be able to come out from church, and I wouldn't be able to remember what I had heard in there just a little while ago. Isn't that amazing what the devil does? But you got to get used to what's going on. You're fighting a spiritual battle, so you're going to have to really get in there and do something. And Pastor Richard tells us to feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint or compulsion, but willingly, and not for money, but of a willing mind. Now then, there's not anything wrong with pastors being paid. They have to live like everybody else. But don't do it. Don't become a pastor of a church saying, well, I want to do this because that's what I want to do to get my livelihood. No, you need to be called of God to be a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist or an apostle or a prophet or any of those things. You need to be called by God to be one of those. If you're not called by God and you're in that position, I guarantee you won't ever make it. You just won't never do a good job. And you won't never be on fire for Jesus like you should be if you're really called. Then he says here in verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. You are to be an example to the flock. And if you will do that, he says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Just think, the consequences are awesome. That if you do what the Lord says, the Lord Himself is going to give you a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Wow. A crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the older. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. So therefore, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Now then, that's a very difficult thing to do it appears for most of us. Cast all of our care on Him because He cares for us. I was talking to a young man just yesterday, and he was a doctor, an MD, and we were talking about, do we need doctors in medicine? Well, frankly, I know that most people don't agree with me, but I don't think that if we need doctors, because if we would teach people how to walk by faith, they wouldn't have to have a doctor. Because God's Word clearly says He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or imagine. Now I realize I'm in an entirely different place than I was just a few years ago. A few years ago, I would have had to have a doctor. Because if something happened to me, I didn't have enough knowledge from God's Word to be taken care of. So without doctors and without nurses, we'd be in big trouble because I would have been all those years. So I realized that most people's faith never gets to where my faith level is. I am so grateful that the Lord has raised my faith level to where He has, and that I am now in a position where I can totally trust God for anything that happens to this flesh. Anything. Now then, I've had several experiences over the years that most people would have thought I was crazy. I needed to go to a doctor, but I absolutely refused to go to a doctor. And I've always seen the Lord come through for me. So I'm just telling you that if you get your faith level to the right place, then you don't need a doctor. But you'll only do that if you'll spend a whole lot of time with God. But it can be done. Praise the Lord. I haven't been to a doctor in 20 years. But I wasn't there 30 years ago. I'll tell you, if I didn't have one, I'd have been in trouble. But now, praise the Lord, I have been able to step up there and step into that realm. But when He says there, humble yourselves before and under the hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Then He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, the devil is going to be out there to get you. That's all there is to it. But the Lord says, whom resist? Steadfast in the faith. Well, how do you resist the devil? You resist the devil steadfast in the faith. Faith, what does that mean? It means taking the Word of God and quoting it to the devil. And when you do that, if you will resist the devil steadfast in the faith, knowing that this same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So there's nothing new. Everything has been here all the time. And so Solomon clearly said that in his book of the Old Testament, that there's nothing new. And if we will just resist and learn to resist the devil steadfast in faith, I mean, stand your ground against him. Well, most of you may be just like I was for many years of my life. I didn't know what the devil did. I didn't know he's the one that brought pain and suffering and sickness and disease, stealing, killing, and destroying. But when I learned he brought stealing, killing, and destroying, I totally changed the way I did business. Now then, if a pain or a headache or something began to come up on me, I know where it comes from. And it is not God the Father. It's the enemy. It's the devil. And so I know he's involved in everything that has anything to do with pain or suffering. Death, killing, stealing, and destroying. So if it fits in that category, I rebuke the devil and kick him out now. And I don't have to put up with him no more. Praise the Lord, since I've learned that I have all power and authority over that beast. Now then, it says, humble yourself. We have read that. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Your adversary, the devil, Satan himself, he is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I'm going to tell you, he's going to devour you. He's been devouring you just like he did me all those years. I didn't know the enemy was devouring me in sickness and disease. I had no idea he was the instigator behind all these things. But when I learned that he's the one that brings pain, sickness, and disease and everything, any time that beast tries to put any kind of pain, any kind of sickness, any kind of disease upon me, I rebuke him according to the Word of God and drive him away. And I've not had one single sick day in 20 years. So praise the Lord Jesus Christ for what he did for us on that cross. I'd like to invite you to call me at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to send you audio and video teachings, of which we have many, and we'll send them out to you free and postpaid. Also, if you'd like to go to the web, you can find a list of many of our teachings there on our web at www.tlsm. TLSM. That stands for The Living Savior Ministries.org. Happy to send you those from there. Have a blessed day in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, we praise you and worship you and thank you for your magnificence, for this word, for the living word of the living God that we have, that we can study so we can learn about who we are, who you are, what makes you work, what makes us work. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for this magnificent book, the Owner's Manual, that teaches us about the true things of the Word of God. Now, Father, I ask you to bless the Word today as it goes out. May everybody that hear it be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, today we're going to do a little recouping here on 1 Peter chapter 5. We've been talking about this, but now then today we're talking here. We're going to start off here in verse 4. And it says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Now then, if we'll do what the Lord says, feed the flock of God, and we'll walk in obedience to his word and do what he says, we will receive this magnificent crown of glory. Now, there are five different crowns laid out in the Word of God which we can receive if we'll meet the criteria. This happens to be one of them. And this is when you'll get it. When the chief shepherd, which is Jesus, shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Then he says in verse 5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the older. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the truth, or in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Now then, the thing about it is, when we think about it, we meet all this criteria, and I know many people that have met all of this criteria down through these scriptures here we read in 1 Peter 5, but when he comes down to the part of resist the devil, and he will flee from you, it's amazing how many people don't understand the devil. And I didn't either. For many years, I had no knowledge of who the devil was. I had no knowledge of what he did. He has done a very, very, very good job on us of deceiving us as to who we are and who he is. First of all, he's deceived us where we don't realize that we are sons and daughters of the King. That our King defeated him, Satan, 2,000 years ago and completely defeated him, and he technically has absolutely no power over us anymore on this earth. But most of us are like I was. I didn't know that. So by not knowing that, the enemy beat up on me big time. I didn't realize that sickness and disease, every bit of it, comes from the devil. There's absolutely no sickness and disease on this earth that did not come from the devil and his wicked nature, that nature that lives in us. It brings forth stealing, killing, and destroying. And all that comes from the enemy. But I didn't know that. But when I began to understand who the enemy is, and he's the one that causes all these problems between man and woman, between husband and wife, But he's the one that creates the problems. All wars and all these things are instigated by the enemy. But the Lord told us, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brothers that are in the world. So if we resist the devil, he says your adversary, of course he definitely is our adversary, and he is the devil, and he is as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Well, I've come to realize that the one's going to stop him is you. I used to not realize when I used to pray for the Lord to heal people and do things, I didn't realize that really all I had to do was rebuke the devil and command him to leave in the name of Jesus, and then the people would get well. Now then, after you get the sins of a person confessed, because that's how the devil gets legal right to come in, through sin. So if you walk holy before God, you open no doors. And the Word of God clearly says that many places in the Word of God, that in Psalms 91, Proverbs 19, 1 John 5:18, but many places where that if you do not walk in evil, the evil one cannot touch you. He cannot touch you. And since he's the one that brings sickness and disease, then you can realize that he's trying to slip up on your blind side and he's trying to deceive you, but you don't have to receive it. But we've been asking God to do something about the devil, and the Lord has done everything he's going to do with the devil. 2,000 years ago, he defeated him. He destroyed him and his power, and he gave you and me all power and authority over him. So when we learn that, that means that when the enemy tries to come upon us with sickness or disease or attack one of our families or anything else, we literally drive out the enemy with the Word of God, drive the beast out, and praise the Lord and thank him for his promises, and we get healed. We don't have to allow that devil to come upon us and do these bad things to us. But the Lord says there in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In other words, he's going to devour or try his best to devour everyone he comes in contact with. But as he tries his best to devour you, the Lord clearly says, whom resists steadfast in the faith. How do you do that? You take the Word of God and you take the promises of God and you quote them to the devil, and you demand that he leave you in the name of Jesus. Now then, when you do that, it says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a little while, will make you perfect, established, strengthened, and he will settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now by Salvanius, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so does Marcus, my son. Greet you one another with a kiss of love. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now that's the end of 1 Peter chapter 5. It's all over there. Now we're going to go directly into 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Now this 2 Peter is an awesome book. Just like many of the books of the New Testament, they are awesome books. But listen to this. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now I got to stop there and talk about that verse. That verse is awesome. He said, I am a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, and I'm writing this letter to them that have obtained like precious faith. Like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now that we obtain this righteousness by faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And all we had to do was believe. When we believe and receive what is already ours, we can obtain this like precious faith. What does Peter mean here when he says to them that have obtained like precious faith. Can you get any idea what he means or thinks when he says to them that have obtained like precious faith? Well, let me give you a quick overview of the kind of faith that Peter's talking about. Let's go back to Acts chapter 3. And it says, now Peter and John went up together unto the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And the people saw him walking and praising, and they knew it was him which had set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And the lame man was healed. And as the lame man which was healed helped Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marveled you at this? Or why look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his Son, Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised up from the dead. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now think about that. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Now what can you do with faith? Well, it's just like last night. A little lady called me. And she was having trouble. She had having trouble in her back and her leg. Something was really bothering her, had tremendous pain. And her husband had been listening to some of my audio and video tapes. And her husband told her, said, well, honey, why don't you just do what Thurman does? Why don't you rebuke the pain and command it to leave? So she said, I did, and nothing happened. I asked my husband if he would do it. He did it, and nothing happened. So she called me. And she said, what is wrong? I said, you just don't have the faith that you need yet. I said, but you're getting there, but it'll take a while. I said, faith doesn't come overnight. It comes by continuing to study the Word of God. She said, sir, Thurman, she said, Jesus just doesn't love me. I said, oh, yeah, he loves you. I said, now I'm going to prove to you he loves you. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke her pain and I command it to leave in the name of Jesus. And immediately she burst into tears, just crying. After she settled down a minute, I said, what's wrong? She said, he does love me. I said, of course he does. But what made the difference? She said, when you rebuked the pain, it went away. I was instantly healed. I told her, of course, because God's word, as you build your faith, you become a possessor of this like precious faith that Peter's talking about here in 2 Peter chapter 1. And it's so awesome to step into that realm of that like precious faith. Praise the King of the universe. His name is Jesus. I invite you to call me 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll be happy to send you video and audio tapes. Or you can contact us on the web at www.tlsm.org. And there we'll be happy to send you tapes. We also have a healing school 2 times a month. It's all on our website. We teach people how to walk in divine health. Come and expect in the Lord to do a miracle for you. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I praise you and worship you and thank you for all the wonderful things you do for us. Thank you for the day. I ask you to bless it as we read and study your word in 2 Peter today, Lord. Give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding from the Word of God as we study it. And we give you all the praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Now then, we're in chapter 1 of 2 Peter. We had just gotten yesterday at the end of the first verse, so we'll just read that verse again. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And we talked a little yesterday about this like precious faith. This is faith that moves mountains. This is faith that heals the sick. This is faith that does mighty things. Then, so that to those that have obtained that like precious faith, well, I've come to realize today that there's very few of those people out there that have that like precious faith. So we're trying to do everything we can to raise the standards of that like precious faith. The Lord has revealed to me many things in the area of faith, and I'm doing my best to teach it to people. And many people are seeing their prayers answered now and seeing the Lord do great and mighty things for them. And then verse 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Well, not grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How is grace and peace going to be multiplied unto you? He says, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So if you want grace and peace to be multiplied to you, you can't go home, kick up your feet, and eat popcorn and drink soda pop and watch television. Your faith will not be increased. But if you'll go home, and if you're going to watch television, at least when you watch it, watch Christian television. But don't watch the television of the world, because none of it is any good. Absolutely none of it. Watch Christian. And then be careful when you watch Christian. Make sure people have faith. Because so many Christian people today don't know what faith is either. But anyway, we're going to learn. We're all going to learn. The Lord is going to raise up a standard. And He's already doing that. I know there's some of the teachers. I watch a little Christian television myself. And some of the teachers are getting extremely good in faith. Some of them are really, really teaching faith. So praise God for all those men and women that are doing that. And it seems like there's getting to be more and more of those. So praise our Lord. He is raising up a standard. Now grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Wow. Second Peter, we're not even down to but just a third verse, and just think of what all he said in that. Verse 3 says, according as His divine power. Now, what is His divine power? Wow. It is absolutely the best, the most awesome. His divine power. He can do anything. He can make the cosmos with His divine power. But according as His divine power has given unto us all things. What? All things. Not a few things. But He's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now just think about all these things. Everything that we need for life and godliness has already been given to us. So if all this has been given to us, then what can we pray for? Well, I tell you what we can pray for. We can pray for a needy world. We can pray for a church that's needy, a church that does not study the Word of God. We can pray for those kind of things, for a church to be given enlightenment of these wonderful things, because so many of us don't know these things. We've been too involved in the world. But he says, according to the divine power of God, He has given unto us all things, not a few things, but all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. So if the enemy, the devil, can keep you out of the Word of God and you don't know what these promises are and that they're yes for you, then you will absolutely not be able to walk in divine health and in power over the enemy. But you've got to get a hold of these things. So, in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, wait a minute. We're only down to verse 4. And think of the magnificent promises in every line. Listen to this in verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. Wonder what Peter's so excited about here. That he says, but through these exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Wow. These promises must be awesome. But let's wonder what some of these promises are. That we are given these exceeding great and powerful precious promises. Wow. Let's think about some of these promises. Amazing how the enemy blinded my mind all those years. That by these precious promises, I might become a partaker of the divine nature of God. Divine nature? What does that mean? Divine nature. Wonder what God's nature is. Reckon God has ever had any sickness? Reckon he ever has any pain? Reckon he ever has any lack? I don't think so. So if that's the divine nature of God, and he has no pain, he's not sick, he's not afflicted, then who is it that's come putting this sickness and disease upon us? It's the devil, the beast. He's slipping in and doing this, and most of us don't have a clue that when he comes in to steal, kill, and to destroy, we have power and authority over him in the name of Jesus. Wow. You talk about a blessing. It's just absolutely awesome to study this book and to see what God has done here. That we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Glory. And listen to what he says in verse 5. And besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you, now all those things, what things? The last few things we just read. If these things be in you, if they be in you, and should they make you that you shall neither be and abound, for if these things be in you and abound in you, they shall make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. So who is this going to make this work? You are. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And so, brethren, and it says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. How many Christians do you know that have failed in so many ways? But the Lord clearly tells us right here in these first 10 verses of 2 Peter chapter 1, the first 10 verses, the power, just a little bit of the magnificent power that's given to us as by sons of God. It is so amazing what we can do if we just believe the living Lord. Then he says, and for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of those things, though you know them and establish in that present truth. Yes, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you and rumors, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Just amazing. Paul knows he's going to die, and it doesn't bother him at all. But when you know the battle that's going on, you have no fear of dying. You know that the minute you lay down this physical body in death, praise God, you step over into the world of the Spirit, the world of faith, and when you step over that, in that world of faith and that world of the Spirit, you don't have to sweat nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. When we get home to be with Jesus, it's all going to be taken care of. Glory to God. Just think. Isn't that going to be amazing? It's going to be so wonderful to get home to be with Jesus. Yay. And he says here, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Now, lots of people, they don't know these things. But I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Most of us are like I was most of my life. I didn't know enough about it to put you in remembrance of these things. But praise the Lord, I'm learning now. Verse 13 says, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus has showed me. You know what that means? It means he's going to die. It means he's going to get to go home to be with Jesus. Not the least bit concerned. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Eyewitnesses. Isn't that amazing? We were eyewitnesses, Peter says. Just think, Peter got to see the Lord. He got to walk with him, eat with him, talk with him, and watch him do all those mighty miracles. But today, praise the Lord, I've got to walk with him. I've got to see him do many of these mighty miracles. The thing about it is, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I don't get to see him physically, but I sure do get to see the works he does when I speak in his name. And I'm so grateful for what the Lord's doing. Praise the Lord. Give me a call at 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to send you audio and videotapes. Or you can get to us on the web, www.tlsm.org, www.tlsm.org. There you can send us an email, order tapes, do anything you want to. We'll be happy to do that for you. Remember, whatever you do this week, praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, we worship you and praise you and thank you for the privilege to teach your word. I thank you, Lord, for this magnificent book and ask you to bless it to the people as they hear it today. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. I rebuke the enemy, command the enemy to get his hands off of them so that they will be able to retain your mighty word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're in 2 Peter this week, chapter 1. This is an awesome book. I mean, this is an awesome book. When you read 2 Peter chapter 1, if you read that and if you can't get some awesome things out of the first chapter there, you really got a problem. This is a magnificent, powerful book. And we've talked about several of those things yesterday and the day before. But praise the King. Now we're going to press on. And we're going to start here in verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Well, we all ought to be putting people in remembrance of all these mighty things that Peter's talking about here. Because the Lord has given us all power and all authority to live a godly life with power and authority with all these great and mighty and awesome promises. Wow, what a God we serve. What a book this is. But anyway, he says, yes, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Praise the Lord for men like Peter that'll put us in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. So evidently the Lord had showed Peter that he was going to die and showed him how he was going to die. But it didn't bother Peter at all. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my depart or my death or my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. I mean, I'm getting ready to go home to be with Jesus. I'm still a strong man, but I want you to know what these things are. Verse 16, he says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. Now this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now you think, Peter, along with some others, got to stand on the mountain and got to hear this authoritative voice of God himself as it came down and spoke in an audible voice that everybody there got to hear. Wow! Isn't that amazing? And people have a problem today when we say that we hear the Spirit speak to us. Wow! There should be no problem. A Spirit speaks to us without a problem. But anyway, it says in verse 18, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain." So Peter's telling us there that he heard this magnificent voice of God speak, and he spoke out loud, and he heard the voice. They all heard it. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Now, wait a minute. We just got through hearing the voice of God the Father. But yet we have a more sure word of prophecy. Well, what in the world is a more sure word of prophecy? "Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Praise the Lord Jesus. This is an awesome, awesome scripture here. He says here in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now then, if Peter and them heard the audible voice of God, and they knew they heard the audible voice of God, but yet they have a more sure word of prophecy, what in the world is that more sure word of prophecy? It is the written word of the living God. Now let me tell you, this book, according to Psalms 119:89, this book is forever settled in heaven. It cannot be changed. And according to Psalms 138:2, the word of God is exalted above all the names of God. And John 10:34 says the word of God cannot be broken. So if you take this book, you can study this book, and you can stand on this book. You can believe this book that it will happen, just like it said, and it will happen. If you stand on this word, you will get to see the Lord do some great and mighty things in your life. Don't step back in fear. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. You stand on the word of the living God. And as you stand on the word, you'll get to see the Lord do some great and mighty things. I'm so upset at myself that it took me so many years to get to a point where I can believe this book. And I'm still not 100%, but I'm way on up there compared to where I was. But I'm doing my best to believe it. And of course, when you get to where you know that you have a more sure word, then you can take this word, you can stand on it, and you can do what Michael Green did. A man that comes to my church, 5 years ago, he had a liver transplant. He was a Christian and went to church, but he didn't have any idea of the power that was in this book. But he started coming to my church just a few months ago, probably 5 or 6 months ago, And he started listening to the word and hearing faith taught and who he was and what he could do in the name of Jesus. Now, Michael was getting to the point where he was just about ready for another liver transplant. They had done one, and he was on, oh, I think he said $1,500 a month worth of medication. It was terrible what the enemy does to us. But when he got a hold of the truth of the Word of God, Michael began to confess the Word. He praised the Lord that the Lord had healed him on the cross. He trusted God's Word. The doctors had told him, if you stop taking this medication, you will die within a week. Well, he got completely off of his medication, completely quit taking it. And that's been about 2 months ago, and he has never been in better shape in his life. He had a heartbeat that was irregular since birth, and he'd had that all of his life. Well, me and another man in my church prayed for him one night. We asked the Lord to change all of those things, and the Lord completely healed Michael. I mean, his heartbeat is now perfect. He does not have an irregular heartbeat. His liver is functioning perfectly. He is completely off medication. He said, if I had only known how to trust God. But he said, I'm learning. And he said, praise the Lord, it sure is paying good dividends. So now then, he has no medication. He told us the other night at church, it has put him and his wife into a much, much better relationship. They're in love together like they have never been. They're realizing now who the enemy is. They're walking in love to each other and with the Lord. And Michael said, I had not been a tither. My business was on bottom. I didn't understand this. So he said, I started giving the Lord the first 10% of all of my increase. And he said, within just a matter of a few weeks, my business just began to be flooded with work. And he said, now then, a couple of months later, he said, I am absolutely 2 to 3 months behind in trying to get it all done. He said, the Lord has just flooded us with business. And he said, it's been very good business that has turned out to be very wonderfully profitable. So praise the Lord. All you got to do is do what God says and believe this book, this more sure word of prophecy, because it works. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Peter says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, if you start seeing people that teach a lie in God's Word or don't teach all of it, many of these people will die early. It says, and many shall follow their various ways, their evil ways. Many shall follow their evil ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. In other words, the truth, they're going to talk evil about the truth. Isn't that amazing? And it says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Isn't that amazing? For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and or Sheol into the darkness, and has delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved until judgment. Wow. I mean, if you stumble and you fall away from God and stop serving Him, especially after you've been in a third heaven. For if God spared not the angels. Now see, these guys had been in a third heaven. They had seen this place. But yet, it's amazing how cunning the devil is. Because the devil deceived them. And a third of the angelic host went with Lucifer. He is a sly critter, I will say. He is really sly. And through covetousness, and though covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, it's coming upon them. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. The angels are chained in darkness, and they're waiting the day of judgment. And it said, and he spared not the old world, but he saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now just think, God destroyed because of wickedness, because of unrighteousness, because of sin. Because of sin, the Lord literally destroyed the whole world. I can't fathom that. That what it must have been, the devastation, the millions of people, what all happened, that the flood from the deeps and the rain and everything beat down upon this earth, and that it flooded the earth completely over the top of the greatest mountain, and that every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of this earth was destroyed. Wow. Isn't that awesome? But he says, and he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Well, folks, let's don't live ungodly. Let's don't let that happen to us. Let's walk holy before God. I invite you to call me at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And also, we can send you audio and video tapes, and they're free and postpaid. Also, we would invite you to contact us via the web. We're on the web at www.tlsm, TLSM, that stands for The Living Savior Ministries.org. And there you can send us an email. There you can order our tapes, and you can listen to our radio shows. So praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries again today. Let's come to the Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we worship you and we praise you and thank you for all the wonderful things that you do. You're a mighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the God of Gods. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege to teach your word. May you open our hearts and our minds and our understanding to the mighty things of the word of God today. As we hear it, may we be blessed, and may you lock it into our spirits that we will have it where we will not sin against you. We praise you and thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're in 2 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 4. So it said, for if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. You think about what he just said there. Now he is talking about these awesome things, even about the angels. When angels sinned, you mean angels can sin? Yes, they can. These angels did. These angels had walked with God. Who knows how many eons of years that they walked with him, and they knew him, and they loved him and served him. But that beast Lucifer, or that old devil right out of the pit of hell, he was able to get through to those angels, and he deceived them. And even a third of the angels fell. So after all those angels fell, and they were cast down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and he didn't even spare the old world. It's amazing how that Satan came down and deceived mankind. And when he deceived mankind, even these things. And then, of course, whenever he deceived the men in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, God came down after they would not repent, when they were mixed up in such perversion, and all the perversion that they were mixed up in, they were mixed up in all kinds of perverted ways, all kinds of sexual immorality, and all kinds of wicked, perverted things, and homosexuality and everything else. And finally, God got all he could stand of this, and he came down and he literally destroyed those cities, all of them, with fire and brimstone because of their ungodliness. Now then, it's amazing, but he delivered Lot because he was the righteous man. But although this righteous man had been dwelling among all these people, he was seeing and hearing all those wicked things that they were doing. And it's amazing, you know, how that you can live in amongst that stuff. And it does have a tremendous impact on you. So I would no wise live in a place where there was that kind of perversion. I'd go somewhere, if I had to go out on a hill and live out on top of a hill by myself somewhere before I'd live in that kind of perversion and listen to it. But there's a lot of people today, a lot of people today that have that perversion come right into their homes. We have movies, things that have adultery, that perversion, homosexual lifestyles, all man living with man, woman living with woman, all this stuff on the TV today. And if you allow that junk in your home, it will pervert you, and you'll get to where you'll believe like those people do, because all you need is one rotten apple in a barrel of apples. And first thing you know, they'll all be rotten. Well, that's what these perverted people are hoping for. They want more people to be like them. But their end will be more than they can stand if they don't come to Jesus Christ and make him Lord and Savior, according to this. Because Sodom and Gomorrah, because of their wickedness, they were condemned and they were overthrown. And it was completely, totally destroyed because they wouldn't live godly. They lived ungodly. And so God came down and destroyed them. But he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He'll do the same thing to the world today. It says here that, verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Just think, he was vexed his righteous soul from day to day, was watching and listening to all this junk. Verse 9 says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to preserve the unjust into the day of judgment to be justified or to be punished. Not justified, but punished. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to remove the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. It's amazing what we do. Even angels, which are greater in power and might, even they will not bring railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. They shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Isn't it amazing the people that feast with us? In fact, I tell you the way we can tell who these people are. If you set the place up instead of having a feast, you set it up to have a fast, you'll find out who these people are. Because those people that love to feast and come among you, they don't like to fast, so they will go somewhere else during a fast, I can assure you. But he says, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin. beguiling unstable souls as an heart they have exercised with covetous practices and cursed children. How do you curse children? Well, when you bring children into the world in these illicit sex affairs, you curse the children. And the devil has legal claim to those children. So if you brought a child into the world in an illicit sex affair, you, number one, need to repent for what you've done, and then you need to break the curse over that child. If that child is not sick at this point, he may very well be in very short order. We have seen in the last couple of years several people that have brought children into the world in illicit sex affairs, and the children were on their deathbeds in the hospital, some of them within days after they were born, and there was nothing, absolutely nothing could be done to, as far as the doctors say, to establish or heal these children. But when we go to them and get their sins confessed, get the people to repent, get them to move out from their lifestyle of living with each other out of wedlock, and get them to repent and come to the Lord, then we can pray for those children. And sometimes we see those children instantly healed. It's amazing. We had a little girl just a few months ago. In fact, the baby was born in October, and her mother had been living with a man out of wedlock. And the little child had a liver failure, and they said the child would never go home, said she'd die in the hospital. Well, we found out that the young lady that had the child was living in an adulterous lifestyle with a man. So we got them to repent, got them to move out with each other. As long as the sin remains, the curse remains. But when the sin is removed, the curse can be removed. But the devil doesn't automatically leave. Once you got the sin confessed, then you have to break the curse and demand in the name of Jesus that the enemy go away. And when you exercise your power and your authority, and you demand that the enemy leave, the little children get healed. But these people here, because of their sins, because they had eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, and therefore have cursed their children. Now then, verse 15 says, which have forsaken the right way, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. Now that's a pretty awesome statement too when you see that. There was a prophet of God that went in and told them what to do. And it's amazing how that people just will not do. Even Balaam, you know, he wouldn't do what he was supposed to do. But since he wouldn't do what he was supposed to do, he was rebuked for his iniquity by his donkey. Can you imagine what that must have been like when this man is riding along there and all of a sudden the donkey turns his head around and starts talking to him? The guy gets off of his donkey and literally sits there and talks to a donkey. Well, I'll tell you, praise the Lord's all I got to say. Whatever God needs to use to get our attention is where we need to be. But we definitely need our attention gotten here in the United States of America, because we're going down the same path. It seems like everywhere you look today, they're wanting same-sex marriages, man-to-man, woman-to-woman. I cannot imagine the power of the devil to deceive a human being that I just don't understand how in the world the devil can deceive a human being like that. But if those people are not men and women of God, the devil has full claim over them. And the scripture says he can take them at his will. He can blind their minds and do awful things to people that belong to him. But you need to pray for those people so they can come out of bondage, so they can get saved, so they can come over into the kingdom of God where they have power over the devil. I'd like to invite you to call me at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. 2106. We'd be happy to send you audio and video tapes. Also, get to us on the web, www.tlsm.org. TLSM.org. There you can order tapes. You can find out where our healing schools are. You can find out where we teach the Word and some of the wonderful things the Lord is doing. Praise the Lord Jesus. Serve Him this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, we are so grateful that You're our King and our Lord and our Savior, our Healer, our Deliverer, our Provider. We thank You, thank You, thank You, Jesus, for the Word of God, and that You became flesh to show us what we're supposed to do on this earth. And I am so grateful for what You've done. Thank You for the Word. Thank You for the revelation of the Word. And thank You, Father. Thank You, thank You, thank You. Now as the Word goes out today, reveal it to Your people and use it for Your glory. And may You be glorified, because only You're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're in 2 Peter today, and we're in chapter 2 here. I'm going to go back up just a little bit where I stopped yesterday, so it'll make sense here about the context of this. It says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly." This is 2 Peter 2:9. Says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." And I guarantee He knows how to do that. Verse 10 says, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you." Isn't that amazing? These men are natural brute beasts. These men, they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. If people would just get a hold of the idea that all God wants us to do is serve Him, to love Him, to worship Him, to praise Him, we could have a great life here on this earth if we would not yield to this devil. And verse 17 says, "And they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness." Now just think, they're going to receive, there is a reward of unrighteousness. And you know what that reward is? That's the lake of fire. The reward of unrighteousness is going to be the lake of fire one day when it is opened, when hell is actually opened, which it's not yet. Satan is not there yet. Nobody's in hell yet. They're being held in this place of Sheol, this place of torment in the earth, until the final day of judgment. And that's when they will be cast into the lake of fire. That's where they'll receive the reward of unrighteousness. Don't go there. Serve the Lord. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. Whatever you do, don't go to and receive this reward of unrighteousness. But it says, "And they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery." And my goodness, is that running rampant today all over the country. People, even Christians, have eyes full of adultery. The devil has sent those perverse evil spirits across the country to deceive even the Christians. It's time the church wakes up and we become the holy, righteous instruments that God planned for us to be. But it says, "These men, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable or weak souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices and curse children. Just think of the children out there that have been cursed because of the devastating sins that we have committed. We have brought curses upon our children. And that's why when you go to a children's hospital, you see children everywhere, little children that have never lived long enough to have sinned, but they're there because of the sins of their fathers and their mothers and their grandparents. It's amazing how we curse our children with sin. Verse 15 says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Think of the people that love the wages of unrighteousness. But there's many of them. Today people seem to just love living in unrighteousness and sin and wickedness. It's everywhere you go, everywhere you look. You can't see a movie today that don't have words of profanity in it. You can't see a television program that does not have profanity and sex and violence in it. They're just everywhere. So if you feed that trash into your mind and your heart, that's the way you become. It says it, but in verse 16, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water. They're clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. That's where they're going to go, to the place of darkness. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who have live in error. Now those of us that are clean, we have the power to escape from the forces of darkness. To those that are living in error, you do not have to take part in that wickedness with those people. You have the power, if you're a Christian, you have the power within you to say no to the devil. You have the power within you as a Christian to say no to sin. You have the power within you to say no to sickness and disease. You have the power within you to say no to the devil. So when the devil tries to come upon you and put sin, pain, sickness, or disease, if you're walking holy before God, now you can say no to him. Now if you've been living over there in his world and you're lying, stealing, cheating, committing adultery, fornication, all those wicked things that the Lord tells you not to do, then you're living in his camp. And you cannot rebuke him and command him to get away because you're serving him. So you need to repent and come home to be with the Lord. And verse 19 says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Listen to this next line. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Now then, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Now, who are you going to serve? You're going to serve righteousness, or are you going to serve sin? Well, you have the right to make that choice. The Lord from day one has told us, today I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. But he said, you choose. It's your choice. But he said, choose life, so that you and your children may live. Well, let me tell you, that's what we should all do. We should all choose life. So it's not changed in all these thousands of years. God has laid out a plan for us to live righteous and inherit righteousness and eternal life and to live long, or to receive evil, live in evil, and inherit the rewards of unrighteousness, which are the lake of fire. But it is mine and your choice. But whatever you do, make the right choice. Verse 20 says, for if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if they are again entangled back in, therein, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. In other words, when you come out of that trash in the world and you come to the church and you begin to hear the Word of God, And then if you allow that devil to get back at you and you begin to listen to him again, when you go back into the world, I'm going to tell you the devil is going to torment you. He's going to tear you down with sickness and disease and pain and torment, and he's going to get you every way he can. So I'm going to tell you, when the Word of God says that it's better if we have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Because the devil, if he can draw you back into his world once you become a Christian, I guarantee he will torment the fool out of you. Verse 21 says, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mud." Now that's what happens. If you take a person and you talk to that person about Jesus, you bring that person into the kingdom of God, and you get that person saved. When you get that person saved, born again, they receive the Lord as their personal Savior, and then you get them to come to church. Well, let me tell you, the devil has sent a personal demon to those people now to deceive those people, because his goal for the Christians is to steal, kill, and to destroy. Before he could take you at his will, the Word of God clearly says in Timothy, 2 Timothy, that he can take you at will, the devil, if you're his person. But whenever you become a Christian, he assigns a special agent to you, because now you've become a threat to him, and he now knows your name. So his goal is to destroy you. And so when he starts, if he can drag you back into his kingdom somehow, some way, if he can tempt you and test you and draw you back into his kingdom, once you step out from under the protective umbrella of the Lord, once you step out from under the dwelling place of God, if you once you've been in there, that devil can draw you back out into his world. I'm going to tell you, that beast is going to torment you. He's going to do everything he can to destroy your flesh. And he will do it in sickness and disease, and he'll destroy your family. He'll do everything he can. So the thing about it is, whatever you do, don't ever step back into that devil's world. Because once you step in there and you give him legal right, I guarantee he will destroy you. So you stay over here in the Lord's camp and you walk holy before God. If you don't, I guarantee that devil will pull you back in there and he will destroy you. You have the power to not give him that place. So you stand firm on the Word of God. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you to give us a call for audio and video teachings on all of these subjects. We'll be happy to send you tapes of our healing schools and all kinds of things so that you can learn how to walk in divine health and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, walk in the realm of faith. It's an awesome place to walk. Our phone number is 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And you can find us on the web at www.tlsm.org. And there we'll be happy to send you tapes and teachings too. So praise the Lord Jesus Christ.